Welcome to episode 53 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Alison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, the Red Otter and After Party took a turn for the rowdy, and our couriers finally hit the hay after a long, complicated, wonderful, surreal experience of Otter and Prom. But Kieran, Cece, and June had some very strange dreams awaiting them, and they're about to be launched into a brand new day of unexpected twists and revelations. Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
The sun rises. Kieran, you wake up. And June and Cece, you wake up too.
Yo, up?
Yeah.
I just had like the worst sleep of my life.
I just had a really weird dream.
I think we had too many Funtos before bed. Did you have dreams? Do you have nightmares? I had really, Funtos nightmares.
Really weird dreams.
Yeah.
What did you see?
It was like pigs.
What?
And like an ocean, and then it wasn't an ocean. And
there was what? Like a bunch stuff. Of stars, and then I saw Pearl. And
yeah, but then the Pearl became like too. A sun?
Yeah, and then something like came down. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, so we all had the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gravy.
Why would we?
All of you notice the taste of apple on your tongue.
It was the apple.
Oh, it was the apple.
It was the haunted apple.
Yep, we shouldn't eat that apple. Oh, no, I knew it was some dark, spooky stuff, but it just looked so good. Kieran, you made it look so good.
I mean, it was a really good apple.
It did.
I mean, I'm glad that we did it together. Yo, Kieran, you would have had that dream alone.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been super fun to have alone.
No, yeah. Do you think this means we're going to have the same dream every night? Because that was exhausting.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, we only had small pieces of the apple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a chomp.
So maybe
we're probably fine.
Yeah, maybe we'll be fine after this.
Yeah. And then like if we have the same dream again, we can like get ready and like spring a trap. So like next time we'll like grab the pearl before it turns into a sun. Or like when we're pigs, we'll run the other direction.
Oh.
Right. Like, yeah, dream apple, joke's on you. We're coming for you.
We're ready.
No, but so we were in Kieran's dream. Were you in mine, or was I in June's, or was June in mine? Like,
I think we were all in the same dream.
Hive mind.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I don't know, but you know who, like, would know if we wanted to talk about it with someone?
Who?
Captain Foxskull.
Magic Dad. Yes. Mm.
But I don't know. Should we tell them about the apple?
You know what? Yes, I think so. I mean, we've been keeping stuff from the grown-ups and stuff for mad long, and, like, it always ends up with egg on our face. Mm-hmm. Maybe this time we should try, like, being up front of, like, hey, we goofed. We totally beefed this,
I got a haunted apple, and I ate it, and then I my friends ate it, and now we have this weird hive mind dream, and, I think we can just, like, ease them into it, you know?
Well, and like Captain Foxskull deals with weird stuff like all the time. Like, remember, everybody on the Black Quadrant has a curse. So, like, it's like normal for them.
This is like normal everyday stuff for them.
Fox Skull's going to be like, yeah, I would have eaten it too. And all the Black Cauldron kids will be like, yeah, you, of course I would have ate the apple. It's magical, mystical, spooky stuff.
They all would have done it. Yeah. It's totally fine.
Yes. It's
We're fine.
Chill. Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Kieran hops out of bed and like kind of finds a mirror and looks at the very bright purple bruise that's kind of branching across the bridge of their nose.
Oh no, Kieran, you got rocked.
I did.
You did.
Yeah, I was worried about that.
They kind of like touch. Mm-hmm. It's not broken. It's just kind of tender.
Yeah, it's gonna be tender.
Looks pretty cool though. Battle scars.
It does.
You look like a warrior. Everybody, nobody's gonna mess with you now. You're gonna be like, we get to actually say, you should see the other guy.
Ooh, I'm gonna say that all day.
Right? Yeah.
And then we're all gonna look at Fenton because that's the other guy. Oh shoot! What? There's somebody at the door.
Hello. What's the password?
Hello.
Password, please.
There's a password even here.
Oh hey, Bran.
Hey, it's Bran.
June gets up and answers the door and opens it. Hey man.
Hey guys.
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to come and see if everybody is okay.
You should see the other guy.
Oh, Cece jumps on her bed screaming, oh.
Yeah, my girlfriend's the other guy.
Yeah, that was probably well-timed.
No.
No, we're fine. We just, you know, we all had some weird dreams last night.
Kieran, are you okay?
Oh my God. I'm still recovering. I completely forgot. My girlfriend's the other guy.
Don't start nothing. There won't be nothing.
Yeah, I'm okay. Is Fenton okay?
I mean, I haven't seen her, yet. I was gonna go wake her up after this. But that's not why I'm here. There's a call for an all-Audrin meeting.
Uh-oh. It's about the fight. I just know it's about the
they
fight.
They want us all up at the landing yard. Not the bird yard, the landing yard.
The landing yard.
Where the ships are.
Okay.
In like the next half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. So like, just get dressed.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bran.
No problem. I'll see you all out there.
Okay.
Kieran, I'm really sorry.
Well, you don't have to be sorry, Bran. I'm really sorry. I think Fenton needs to be sorry and say it to June.
I think so too. And June, I'm really sorry. I didn't.
No, Bran. It's okay. It has nothing to do with anybody, really. It's okay.
I know, and I don't apologize for her. I'm just apologizing.
Oh,
because I feel bad.
Hey, thanks, Bran.
Bran,
I appreciate that.
No, like we're like a thing, me and her.
Yeah.
And what she does is some reflected on me too, kind of.
I mean, I don't think any of us are gonna hold that against you.
No, I don't think you would. But
no.
Anyway, I gotta go.
It's okay.
Her.
Yeah, we'll get dressed and everything, and we'll see you at the yard.
All right. And as he leaves, he turns and goes, something's up. I don't know what it is.
You think it's about the fight last night?
Maybe it is, but I'm not gonna lie. My second route, there was a big fight.
Oh yeah.
And we never had a meeting for it. But who knows? Maybe this one is
different.
Different. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So no more jokes. No. Let's just get our stuff together and we'll go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yup. Okay. Gear up, kids.
All right. I'll see you guys out there. And we see Bran go off and like go to the next door and knock on it. And as you guys go inside to like get ready, we see a montage of people knocking on doors. And it really is an all Audrin meeting. People are like, hey, all Audrin meeting, let's go right now. Like, get up. And it's very early.
Mm.
All of you also know that today is technically a rest day. Like, today was supposed to be a day where you guys rest because they were like, the party's going to go long and these kids need to sleep before we ship out. So the fact that they're calling a meeting today is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people from different Audrins getting up, putting on coats, some still in like pajamas, just putting on coats and boots and like going out into the cold because it's that kind of urgency. We see the three of you. How are you guys dressed heading out there?
I mean, I think we put our regular clothes on, like our Audrin coats over whatever other clothes we were going to wear on rest day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Winter layers.
Yeah.
Cozy. Scarves.
Snooty.
Cece very slowly puts her little Lumen Deck into her belt. After last night, she is very nervous about anything that involves magic, mystery, baloney involving gods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She is shaken and she is spooked and sweaty.
She's valid.
We see all of you head on up to the landing yard, the shipyard, where everyone's up there. We see all the Audrins are all standing around in their respective Audrins, kind of clustered together. Everyone's kind of talking back and forth. Nobody really knows what's going on. There is a scaffold kind of built. There's like a raised stage, basically. And we see that everyone's kind of facing that, sitting around talking. As everyone's kind of in this crowd, we look over, we see Fenton with like a black eye that's kind of like a little swollen shut. She's got like a handful of snow and she's pressed to it, and like Brand standing there like next to her. And Brand nudges her and points to like Kieran and June. And Fenton looks over at them and like looks away, and Brand like nudges her again. She takes a deep breath and she kind of marches over. June? Kieran?
Hi, yeah. Fenton.
Hello. June, I'm very sorry I slapped you.
It's okay.
I didn't mean to. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what came over me. I feel like everything I'm going to say is an excuse. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was just an impulse you had, and you know, it's okay. Thank you for apologizing.
She turns to you, Kieran, and goes, "Kieran, I'm sorry that you tackled me, and then I retaliated."
Do you ever stop? Can you just take a day off, Fenton, from like your whole show?
What,
like,
do you mean?
Not today.
What do you mean, Cece?
Oh, I apologize for tackling. Just say you're sorry for
fine,
in
fine.
The
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kieran.
Gosh.
I'm sorry I busted your nose.
It's not actually broken. It's just kind of like tender, but it's okay. I'm sorry I gave you a black eye.
I think we were all very overtired, and it was just a bad moment.
Yeah.
We're all willing to move past it.
Fine.
Water under the bridge.
All right. You know? Water under the bridge.
Yeah.
And she turns to Bran, and Bran shrugs. It's at that point that we hear like a ding, 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 ding as a bell rings, as up on top of this kind of stage thing up here, we see there's Captain Mulden Foxgull like rings a bell. We see standing up there is Mulden Foxgull in his black Audrin coat. We see Captain Wiltham Knott in their gray Audrin coat. And we see Captain Dennison in his red Audrin coat and Captain Allegria Canticle in her yellow Audrin coat. We see their staffs as well. Their quartermasters and star watchers are all up there with them as well. So it's 12 people standing up there. "All right, children, quiet down, quiet down," Mulden Foskell says. "You're probably only wondering why we called you out here today on your rest day. We sincerely apologize. We will make sure that you will have enough time. We will not be shipping out tomorrow morning early. We will go in the afternoons. We'll give you time to rest, recuperate from last night, and the party. A brief reminder that all of your clothes need to be left in your rooms so they can be picked up." There's a long pause as he stands up there and kind of looks at everybody. "We regret to inform you, everyone, that we will need to invoke a Audrin maelstrom." And everyone begins to, like, talk between each other.
A what? What did he Audrin say? What does that mean?
Like the card?
Like, what?
What?
An Audrin maelstrom. For those of you that are new, this is not something we do lightly. We'll be shifting and changing almost all the rosters on all the Audrins.
What?
It's a necessity.
He yells, "You mean like us?"
"Yes, just like all of you. My Audrin, the yellow Audrin, the gray Audrin, the red Audrin, all will be shifted and shuffled."
"Why?"
"That's a very good question. Captain Dennison, care to elaborate?" And we see Mulden kind of turn around and look at Dennison, who's standing there, Lysander on their shoulders, stoic-faced. And for the first time, you all look, and Dennison looks noticeably younger. Maybe before he was like a 53-year-old man. Now he looks about 36.
What?
Whoa.
And for the record, people who look 35, 36 look great, listener.
He absolutely, you didn't ever notice it before, but he was definitely carrying like weight around his middle section, which is all gone now. All the gray and white in his beard is pretty much gone, and
lucky
in his hair.
Lucky him.
The wrinkles on his face are gone, and the only gray he has is kind of like at the temples and a little bit in his beard.
Hot.
That's good.
He's broad-shouldered as he steps forward, tall, kind of lithe, but like strong. Lysander is also, like, not noticeably younger. He's not like a kitten or anything like that, but like a young cat on his shoulders.
Dang.
What the heck?
Greetings to you, children.
Cece fights every urge in her body to boo.
Yeah, June reaches over and immediately grabs Cece's hand with one of hers and Kieran's hand with the other.
Don't grumble in. I'm like, well, now you're all jacked in a great shape. You got this gray hair. You know, I bet you didn't sleep like a bat last night.
Thank you, Captain Foxkull, for giving me this opportunity. It has been my pleasure to be captain of the Red Audrin these past years, but all things come to an end. As of today, I resign my captaincy and turn over the Red Audrin to Adrian Yeagerman to be captain. I know that this maelstrom is because of me. I've brought this about, and I apologize. But when things change, they change for a reason. That's all.
And he steps back.
As everyone kind of like begins to murmur and mutter amongst themselves, Wilthelm Knott kind of goes, oh no, there's more. Hold on. And Allegria steps forward and goes, I too will be resigning my captaincy of the Yellow Audrin today. From the Yellow Audrin, there's a what? Like there's an uproar from the Yellow Audrin. I'll be joining Captain Dennison in his endeavor. He will need my help. If you wish to speak to me about this, you can, but not right now. And there's like a, oh, what is that? And she goes, not right now. All right, let's begin the shuffle. Let the Audrin maelstrom begin. And she kind of steps back. Basically what has to happen, because Allegria Canticle is stepping down as captain and Silas is stepping down as captain, their quartermasters become captains. And the initiates step up as quartermasters, and that ripples all the way through. And it's basically going to change all the Audrins because people need to be pulled from different places. And because of that, everything kind of has to change. I think everyone kind of begins to talk amongst themselves. So how do you guys think the maelstrom happens?
Let me know what you guys think. But I'm picturing us in this big crowd, like groundlings at a Shakespeare play, at the base of this scaffold, talking and freaking out, and everybody's trying to get a sense of what's going on. I feel like the new quartermasters descend the scaffolding and move through the crowd, and like it's like being picked for dodgeball, except instead of them pointing us out from the scaffolding, they've been given orders, and I feel like they come through and they just collect us, and so we are literally physically pulled apart.
Yeah. I would like to suggest that it's not glamorous, it's like degrading. Mm-hmm. It's not nice. It's not fun for anyone.
It's curt. It's messy. Like,
I think this is the kind of thing that they do quickly because it can be so disruptive.
Yeah.
And it's utilitarian. It's efficient.
Yeah.
So we see Olwena like stand up, and she goes through and she's like, I have your assignments here, everyone. Gather around. And we see that Olwena is wearing like a new coat, like a quartermaster's coat. We see all of you like in a huddle. It's the Red Audrin. These people have been your family these past several stops. They've been everything to you. You notice that Braith and Bobby Jean are not there. Mm. Olwena goes, has anyone seen Bobby Jean?
No, not since prom.
I'll have to look for him later. Braith shipped out last night. Braith is gone. That's what they were told to do. That's what they wanted.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they knew that this was going to happen, everyone. Before I start, it has been a pleasure to serve with all of you. Okay. Fenton, Eves, Black Audrin. Cece Witwick, Black Audrin.
Cece's jaw is clenched. She is stone-faced, just staring forward and with a huge frown, just dead, deadpan.
June Hymnal, Yellow Audrin.
June's eyes slide shut and she kind of nods like, that makes sense. She squeezes Cece's hand.
Cece squeezes back.
Ortwin Creef, Yellow Audrin. Faramahim, Red Audrin. Ruby Sulnai, Red Audrin. Ugne Winchwind, continue on the Red Audrin. Kieran Rao, Grey Audrin. Bren Hoggart, Red Audrin. And Olwena Gandu, Red Audrin. And I think that she hands like a slip of like a wood token that's colored in different to everyone.
Yeah.
Those are your assignments.
So that's it?
That's it.
We just go?
No, not right now, but tomorrow when you ship out, you'll go to your ship.
And there's nothing we can do?
I don't...
I don't understand why they have to shuffle all of us.
She's got like a clipboard, basically. She kind of puts it and she goes, think about it. Braith isn't here anymore. He was going to move somebody over. Someone has to take my place. Someone needs to take Braith's place. Someone needs to move from there. And when you move those people need to be filled.
Cece yells. She points at Captain Dennison and says, this is all your fault. We vouched for you. You were our friend. You were our mentor. But don't think we don't know your little secret, too. This is your fault. You have ruined our lives. You're the worst. I hope something bad happens to you on whatever thing you're doing that's more important than helping all of us out.
And Captain Dennison looks at you, Cece, and doesn't say anything. Just lets it happen.
That's what I thought. You got nothing to say. You try to make us all tough and make us strong and to do our work and be brave. What are you doing right now? Running away. Cool. Thanks, dragon.
Everyone's like, dragon? They kind of look around.
June, like, reaches, is still holding Cece's hand, and she reaches over and kind of gently pulls Cece back and, like, puts her arm around Cece's shoulders and her other arm around Kieran's shoulders, like, defensively, protectively.
I think Kieran has gone full deer in headlights. Like, the first time anyone has ever met them, very quiet and very small.
Owina goes back up onto the scaffold, and she hands the clipboard to Jaegermund, and you can hear her go, assignments given, Captain. Thank you very much, Quartermaster Gandu. And we see him walk up to Dennison. Mr. Dennison, your coat, if you please. We see him take it off and pass it back to him. He takes it. As he stands there, he opens his mouth to say something and then wags his finger and shuts it and turns around.
Red Audrin, you are still Red Audrin for today. Let us go back to our cabins and enjoy our rest day. Mr. Dennison, you are allowed to get your things. Off you're the Audrin. Where they go, I do not care.
As he steps down and begins to walk away. And we can hear in the distance, not in the distance, but like around you, we can hear people being called out for different Audrins and being placed in different places. As Jaegermund goes back, the rest of the Audrin begins to follow him, and we can see you guys walking away and Dennison just kind of standing on the scaffold, arms behind his back.
I think as we go back, June's frown has deepened, and she is, you know, still kind of half holding her friends close as they walk back, kind of in a daze. And I think June is muttering to them, half reassuringly and half like panicked. Right? There's got to be something else. There's got to be something else going on. This isn't this. I mean, Bran said that this doesn't happen, there's got to be a really good reason for it. And I mean, the roots only last 3 more months. It's not forever, right? Like, it can't be forever. It can't be permanent.
We fought this before. We fought this before. We can, like, do it again or something. We can, like, ask somebody or, like, beg. I'm not going on another one alone. I'm not doing this. I don't want to deliver mail. I just want to hang, and I just want to be friends and do stuff. I don't want to not be friends. I don't want to deliver mail alone. I don't like this. I hate it.
We're going to figure this out. We need time. We need time to think. We have to figure something out because...
Who can we talk to? Like,
it's Captain Dennison's fault.
Yeah, it is, but...
It's Captain Dennison's fault.
100. 100.
So we talk to him.
Ugh.
I mean, why is he leaving anyway? Like, you said that young blood lady asked him to leave, right?
Yeah.
So what does she have on him that she's making him do this? What's so valuable that he has to sacrifice all of us?
Yeah, right? Like, clearly, whatever it is clearly more important than us.
Maybe we can convince him it's not.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, because I don't even want to look at him. But if it means that we get to, like, still hang out, I am down to confront that absolute toot cake.
No, I think you're right, Kieran. I think we have to talk to him.
Yeah.
They said he was going to come get his stuff, right? So we just go where he's going to be and we'll meet him there.
You guys turn around and, like, look back to where the scaffold is. We see the other Audrins are, like, moving away. Leaving Allegria Canticle and Captain Dennison coatless on the stage. And you see them kind of look at each other, kind of nod. And she gives him a hug. It's a quick one, but she gives him a hug. And they head down the scaffold. You see him walking towards the Red Audrin, like the actual boat.
He's not coming back to the cabins.
So then we go to the boat.
We got to go to the ship.
Yeah, let's follow him.
Okay. I think the three of us kind of look at each other and then we take off running towards the ship.
Like a full run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We wanted to take a brief pause to say thank you for all of you being here and being a part of our story. We couldn't do it without you. And now, since we have no other particular announcements this week, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
I think we see Captain Dennison walking across the yard, going up to the ship. And as he gets onto the ship, we see the three of you Scooby-Doo your way to, like, follow him. We see him walk through the Red Audrin, and he walks brusquely through it. He doesn't stop. Lysander clawed into, like, his shoulder, like, around his neck like a scarf, hunched, eyes kind of wide, and his ears kind of pinned back as they brusquely walk through the Red Audrin, going up the stairs, past the mail room, up onto the galley, and up onto the deck, where they head across to his cabin to go get his things. We see as he opens the door, he leaves it wide open. He steps inside. Things are already kind of packed in different places. And the one thing we as the audience see is there's like a sky chest. And there's that black coat we saw the night before draped over. And his sword kind of over it as well, along with like his books are kind of down in piles and like things are kind of being pulled out in different ways. As he goes about to keep packing, we see the three of you outside the door. What do you do?
So I think we come clattering down the hall as a unit, the three of us, out of breath and anxious and, you know, hearts pounding. And we come to a stop in the doorway. Captain Dennison?
We see Dennison look up from what he's doing, see the three of you, and he sighs.
I'm not your captain anymore. Just Dennison will work.
Yeah. Can we talk to you for a minute, please?
Of course. As he continues to pack.
Sir, this is what... Obviously, people are really mad at you right now, sir. But we just want to know why. Like, why is this so important that you have to leave and throw everything into complete upheaval? Like, us aside, everything is different now, and none of us know what's going on, and the captains are all mad at you, and nobody understands what's happening.
We see him packing, and there's a long silence as he continues to put things in crates and in like a big duffel bag, and his sky chest is open, and he's like putting things into it.
I miss him, Noel.
Yes.
Do you still have that training sword I gave you?
I do.
You can keep that. You'll need it. They do sword practice usually every day on the Illawadrin.
June frowns.
After another long silence, Captain Dennison, continuing to pack and move things around with the three of you kind of standing there, goes,
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, you could start with the truth.
Everything I think I'd say would sound like an excuse.
Well, pick one and start with that.
You see him close his sky chest and sit down on it. And this close, you see how young he looks.
It's freaky.
It's weird.
Yeah.
He doesn't even sit the same anymore. Like, the weight isn't even on him. He leans forward, his elbows on his knees, hands clasped together as he looks at the three of you.
Sometimes we have to do things. We have to make choices that are not perfect. There's not always a right answer. Sometimes there's a better answer, and it doesn't help everyone, but we try to help as many people as we can. I'm sorry about the maelstrom. I worked really hard to make sure we didn't do that. But I understand where they're coming from.
That's it? That's all you have to say? Cece, finally, she's just been leaning against the wall with her arms folded. That's it? That cryptic stuff? Typical Captain Dennison nonsense? You're leaving Captain Dennison. Who even are you anymore? Who is this kid in front of me? Talking cryptic nonsense, walking off the boat. Are you kidding me? You're really going to look us in the face and give us your cryptic nonsense mystery riddles? Why are you leaving the boat? You will tell me right now. I will never forgive you for this. I'm glad you're younger, because now I'm going to hunt you forever to get the truth out of you.
Dennison stands and looks at you, Cece, and goes,
good. If you want to hunt me, Cece, if you want to hate me, that makes you feel better. Then do it.
I hope this makes you feel real good, Captain Dennison. I hope you're happy. I really hope that you're living your dreams and just ditching us on this boat. You got yanked out of Thornvale, followed you across the world, hanging on your every word, and now you're ditching and going, hunt me down if you want. Well, guess what? Maybe I won't. Maybe I want you to remember us and how you abandoned us, and I hope that haunts you for the rest of your miserable little life.
He nods. Aye, it will.
Sir, you said that you can't help everybody sometimes. We just want to know if this is just about you. Like, did you get a better offer or something? Or like, that Youngblood lady, is she blackmailing you? Are you under a curse or something? Because you do look different, sir.
It's complicated, he says as he goes back to packing. It's a complicated web.
So you either can't tell us or you won't tell us. And both of which...
He stands up and goes, you don't know me. You don't know who I am. You know Captain Dennison. But you don't know Silas. You don't know me.
How could we?
It's designed that way. I am your captain. I'm not your friend. What I do now, I do because I believe it is the right thing to do.
For you. The right thing for you.
In all the time you've known me, Cece, have I ever done anything just for myself?
How do I even know? Now that I know you have all these ulterior motives and you're sneaky?
Don't
you? The fact that you're a sneak boy now?
We all do, Cece.
Oh, come on. We lived for you. We would do anything you told us to do. We're
kids.
And
you did.
You are the worst. And Cece just walks out and leans against the wall in the hallway. You're a waste of time. You know that? You are not even worth it.
We see Silas sigh and kind of try to calm himself down. Obviously, he got a little more heated than he wanted to in that moment.
You can take whatever reasons you want. Whatever you need in this moment, you can take it. I'm no longer your captain. I'm sorry. I really am.
I think Kieran kind of stands up a little bit straighter, pulls on the bottom of their shirt or their jacket. I think you need to cut Cece some slack.
No, you're right.
This is the first time she's lost someone like this, and I'm not going to be there to help her, and neither is June.
June nods.
We see Dennison's shoulders visibly slump.
You're right. He stands up and he goes to the door. Cece?
Cece has been crying.
Oh, baby.
Yeah?
He walks over and he puts his hand on her shoulder, like gently, like to get on her level.
I don't leave because I want to. I leave because I know it's the right thing. It's not just the right thing for me. It's the right thing for a lot of people. Cece, I'm so proud of what you've done. You remember that first day you stepped onto my deck? Didn't know what you were doing? You've grown so much. There's another person. The person I taught. Like you. Like Kieran. Like June. And I taught them everything I knew. And I loved them like I love you. They need my help. Not to do a thing, but to be something better. I see it in them. And if I'm not there to hold their hand, if I'm not there to be at the tiller for them, they will go astray. Now, I don't know if I'm going to make any difference, but I know I will make no difference if I'm not there. I don't leave because I feel like I'm done. I leave because I have business to do. I have a responsibility to someone I taught, who has gone a completely different direction than I know they want to, than I believe they can be.
Cece turns to face him, folds her arms, wipes her eyes, says, Silas, I have learned everything that I can from you. Our time is complete. And you're young now. So when I'm old enough to be a captain, when I am your age, Silas, look at me. She puts out her pinky. You will join my crew.
And we see him reach out his pinky and hook it and then pull her in for a hug.
Cece hugs back. She says, you'll make a fine courier one day, Silas. And she chuckles. Is she still mad?
No, you are more than welcome to be mad. I will one day because you taught me.
He stands up and looks at you, June, and you, Kieran.
It goes double for the two of you. I wish I could have done it another way.
June is frowning so deeply to keep from crying. Her mouth is a thin, hard line. Are you gonna right wrongs?
I will.
Are you gonna do mercies?
Every day.
I assume you'll be flying, so.
I will. And I will take the three of you with me. In my heart, not actually. It's far too dangerous for you.
Are you sure? Because, like, I feel like the three of us could probably handle a lot.
I believe you can. There's so much for you to learn, you three. See, she's right. I've done all I can. And there's so much for you to learn and grow and find out. I promise. I'll stand too.
June kind of looks around the cabin everywhere but at Denison. And then finally she kind of looks at Kieran and then waits.
I think Kieran's kind of, they haven't been crying. They've just been frowning deeply, their brows furrowed, and they're hanging on to kind of the side of their arm.
Captain Denison, sir, for what it's worth, I understand.
I think for the first time in this whole exchange, we see Denison's face break a little bit. He recovers immediately, but there's a definite scrunch to his face.
I appreciate that, Ro.
I hope wherever you're going, that you stay safe.
I will.
And I hope you find us again someday.
I will. How can I not? I'm sure you'll all catch up with me eventually.
Yeah, you're going to hear Cece coming a mile off, so.
Yeah. You're going to hear my Audrin roaring. When you hear the music bumping, you'll know it's the purple Audrin.
I look forward to that. I think he goes over to Kieran and he puts out a hand for like a handshake.
With all due respect, sir, I think I'd like a hug.
All right, then. And he gives you the biggest hug.
I think Kieran holds on very tightly.
He whispers into your ear,
I think I'll let it slip that you're in my office. Just this once.
They smile. I think they're smiling whenever... I imagine Captain Denison has to physically pick Kieran up for this hug to work.
Yeah.
They're smiling when he sets them back down.
And I think as he puts you down and puts his hands on your shoulders, he kind of shakes his head in wonderment and says,
you look so much like your mother, you know that? She'd be real proud of you.
I think she'd be really angry at you, sir.
I know. I believe she would be. Please.
I'm not
going to
tell her. No, I'm not. I'm not belling that cat, sir. I can't.
Then do this for me.
And he goes over to his duffel bag and pulls out a letter and goes,
I need a courier to take this for me, Ro.
And he hands you a letter and it's addressed to your mother.
Got anything to barter for it?
He goes to the sky chest and opens it and pulls out a pair of gloves. They're like triple stitched. They're thick. They're well-worn leather. And they're too small for him. And he brings them over and he puts them in your hand and goes,
these are my first gloves when I was on the, when I was a red feather at your age. They served me well until I couldn't wear them anymore and I've kept a hold of them. Don't know why. Maybe they were just for you.
Kieran will take the gloves.
I think this is a good barter. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I have another package to be delivered, Whitwick, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah. What do you have for trade, barter, or coin? Because on the Purple Audrin, we take paper.
All right, then.
He goes over to his sky chest, and he opens it up, and he pulls out a rolled bit of parchment. He goes down, and he picks up, like, there's, like, a wood box that has, like, an Audrin seal on it, and the box is, like, nailed shut. It's a black box, and it's got like a big red seal on it. He hands you the box. He goes,
that goes to Captain Molden Foxkull.
Can I look inside before I give it to him?
No.
But what if I did?
Well,
you're not my captain anymore.
I'm not your captain. Whatever.
And then she like punches him in the shoulder really gently.
I'm not your captain, but I am your client.
That's fair. I can do that.
Good. And I hope this is good enough for barter and trade. And he hands you a piece of parchment.
Can I open it?
Yeah, please. It's a map.
You CC love maps.
Audibly, like almost faints, and goes, "It's a map.
It's a What's map it of a coast. It's an entire coastline, basically.
Ooh.
There's a couple of different settlements along the coastline. The biggest one you see is called Last Breath.
Oh,
and there's a couple others like along the coast from there.
What's this for?
That's first map I did as cartographer.
Oh, cool. I'll be sure to add it to my cool. I don't know. I have a magic one, but this one's cool too. So
you have a magic map?
Yeah. Where have you been? This is episode like 50.
Just make sure that package goes to Molden Foxskull.
Okay. My cool, you'll always be my cool pirate uncle, but I will deliver this to cool wizard dad.
That's fair. All right. I have to finish packing. I hope this was enough.
Yeah, I kind of feel better. Like, kind of.
It's enough.
Yeah, I think for Cece, she has completely forgotten that we're not on the same Audrin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, yeah, I feel way better.
Everything's like, thanks for, like, talking guys. To us. Like,
this is a weight off my
about?
Shoulders, dog. Yeah, like, wow. Dang. I was kind of nervous, I'm not going to lie, that, like, today was going to be pretty poopy.
Well, stand to, you three. That means standard attention.
We don't have to, though. You're not our captain.
Yeah, you
know.
Oh,
got him, June. Smoked him.
It's true. Let me finish this way. I'm just an errander. No, just Silas. And you three have been some of the best I've ever sailed with. You'll do great things. You'll stand to and you'll fly. I'm sure of it. And I hope one day I'll get to see just a little bit of it.
Well, you can be seeing a lot of it. Because, like, I'm going to be telling you what to do. I hope those hands keep getting younger because you're going to be pulling ropes, my dude. And she skips out of the room.
Go on. Go on, June.
June begrudgingly takes a step toward the door. It doesn't feel right, sir. It feels like when we were supposed to be on different Audrins at the very beginning, it felt wrong. And we all knew that. And so we said something about it and we asked for it to be made right. And it was. And I don't feel like there's a way to do that now because you have no ability to make sure that we're on the same Audrin, which is what we wanted. And because the captains are all mad at you and you're taking Captain Canicle with you. So I don't even know who's in charge of the Yellow Audrin right now. And none of us know what to do, like they're without each other and without everything that we've built.
June, and he like goes over and like puts a hand on your shoulder. Comes a time, June, when you leave the nest and you fly on your own. Perhaps this is a little soon, sooner than I wanted. But that's life, June. Things don't go the way we want them to. They just happen. I don't mean to leave you three in the lurch. I don't mean to leave Bran or Ortwin or Fenton or any of you. I don't do it because I don't care. I do it because I care.
I believe that.
Besides, you could always write me letters.
But then that lady's going to see that we're writing you letters.
So, she'll get over it.
I don't know, she's got a bad vibe.
And he looks you dead in the face, June, and goes, I know, and that scares me. Now, run along, get to your bunk, take your things, fight hard, listen to your teachers. And, you always squint before you make a feint. Work on that.
Yeah, I do.
It's peri-riposte, remember?
Yeah, it's peri-riposte.
And he gives June a hug.
June hugs him back, a little stiffly, I think a little more stiffly than her friends did. But not because she doesn't want to. Probably because she does want to, and she's trying to mask that.
I heard what you did at the bird yard.
When was that?
Yesterday.
Oh, well, sir, there's been a lot since
I guess it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before that. Lots happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just be careful. I trust you to do what's right for you.
The light goes out of June's eyes, and the air goes out of her lungs, and she kind of takes a step back, detaching from that moment with the captain. And then she looks at Cece and Kieran. And then she just starts to walk towards the hallway.
Go on, Ro.
I think Kieran kind of takes one last look at Dennison and runs after June.
Yeah, June passes through the door and starts to run.
I think Dennison watches the three of you head down the hallway and leave. And he goes back to his sky chest and he opens it. He reaches up onto the cabinet and pulls that world's best captain mug.
T-shirt.
And puts it into his sky chest.
Shucks.
And I think it's then that he cries.
Aww.
We jump to the next scene. Where are you going, June?
June is booking it for the birdyard. Like, no words, no hesitation, just bolting towards the birdyard.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received. Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there are two doors, one hidden by a sea of dead plants. On that door are the words, in freighted crayon, office, and underneath it, the remnants of a water cooler. Inside, we see Kieran, June, and Cece looking wistfully out the window.
What do you think that cloud is shaped like? That one? Oh, it's gone. Never mind. Hold on.
Yeah.
That
which one?
The one that is coming up now. Wait!
That one?
Yeah. Oh. You see it?
That one kind of looks like a castle.
Oh, where? I see it. Oh, it's gone. No. That one looks like a banana. Look, banana cloud. Oh.
I'm really bad at seeing these. I don't know how you're seeing these so fast.
I'm kind of making it up. I don't see nothing.
That's okay. Sometimes it's a bad cloud day.
It is. Sometimes it's a bad cloud day. Sometimes the clouds just, you gotta make it up. You gotta make lemon clouds. You gotta make lemonade clouds out of lemon clouds, you feel?
Yeah.
You know, my mom used to say that.
Actually, I have heard her say that. That's something I heard her say, and I didn't want to.
Thank you. I thought you were gonna make fun of it. But
she said that one time, and I was like, I don't know what that means. And then excused myself, and I left the room. Your mom makes me nervous. I'm sorry.
And my mom makes me nervous, too. Dang.
My mom makes me nervous. It's
a whole
thing.
Kieran's mom makes me nervous.
Kieran's mom, though, rules. Oh.
Yo,
Kieran's mom.
I gotta say, Kieran's mom is holding it down at Thornvale right now.
Mm-hmm. As far as moms are concerned, yeah.
Oh
absolutely.
My God, a mom for the people.
Mm-hmm.
It is probably easier that I'm not going through cargo on a regular basis and like taking things.
These are stone cold facts. What'd you get
Her
recently?
Her job is probably a little easier. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, did you get anything recently? Have you snagged any cool stuff recently?
The last thing I snagged was like a really cool letter opener.
Ooh.
Oh.
And it's just like it's made of like a really oxidized looking metal. You can't recognize
That's
it
cool.
at all.
Oh,
That's
nice.
Cool.
And it has just the crustiest handle.
You know what?
That I think it was in the water at one point.
Oh, Ooh. Cursed.
Curse.
You know what that thing's perfect for, though? And Cece reaches behind June's ear, and then she does a magic trick. A letter for us.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
It's a letter. Oh.
No.
It's attached to a little package, too.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Kieran, do you want to use your cool new letter opener to open this
Pop that
this
bad
string?
Boy open.
Shink.
Knife skills with
Powerful.
A Z.
Powerful.
What is it?
Okay, so there's a little package here, and then there's the letter, which I'm going to open. The letter says, Dear Red Audrin apprentices, congratulations on your first cruise. I hope you're enjoying it. learning well, and seeing all the new sights. And if you're homesick, like I was my first cruise, enclosed is a gift for you. It's a present.
Yes. What's okay. in the box? What's Perfect. In the box?
They're made by me and some folks from the village where I'm stationed. Cassia Morand and her papa. She wants to be an apprentice one day, too. These are a reminder. You're a courier now, a flyer, and birds find homes wherever they land. You're one of us, and you'll have a home with any of us. I send a set out for all apprentices so you know we all flock together. They've always helped me, and I'm hoping they'll help you. Fair skies and following winds, and hope to meet you proper soon. Take flight. All courier, Leah Way's daughter.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Presents.
That's really... Oh, an all courier. Wow. Wrote us a... Sent us a present. That's really
we
cool,
must,
right?
We must be pretty cool if the cool kids yeah. are talking to us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gee whiz.
So I think we reach into the box and like pull out like the bits of straw and things that are there for the packing material. And it looks like inside are these pendants on like waxed leather cords.
Oh.
And the pendant on each of them is exactly the same. It's like an ivory colored wooden disc. And it's carved with several birds all nesting, all roosting together.
That's fun.
Whoa, this is really cool.
Magic amulets.
Yeah, wait, yeah.
Right?
Cece, you've been talking about we need amulets forever.
Oh, I've been trying to find the right ones. And yo, these came from an alt.
That's so cool. I think these are the right ones.
That's like, yeah, like if we're right now, we're on the freshman squad. And then, like, Brand would be JV. And all-career is so varsity that, like,
this is like
prom court right here. And, like, we have been blessed with three magic amulets. What do you think yours does, Kieran?
Kieran, like, looks at theirs. I think it helps me from falling great distances.
Oh, no fall damage.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
What about June? What does yours do?
Mine helps me to see clearly all of the options and not lose my temper.
Oh, your logistic game is so dope.
Cece, what does yours do?
Mine? Yeah. When I put it on, I can, like, background music kind of just follows me wherever I go, depending on, like, my mood and the scene. So like, if I'm in an action scene, it's like...
A vibe follows you.
But if I'm sad, it's like... It's dope.
That's cool.
Wow.
It's like a mood amulet.
These are awesome.
Yeah. This is awesome.
That's really nice that an all-career who's, you know, already been through all this stuff is thinking about us as we do it for the first time.
Yeah. We should get them something.
Yeah.
We should write a thank you letter.
What do you get for the person who has everything? A thank you letter. That's better because we don't have access to doo-doo.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Oh, I can't wait till I get a magic amulet, and then I'm going to send it to a courier.
Maybe we can send them one of the butter dishes I still have.
Butter
That's
dish!
That's lovely, Kieran.
Oh, God. Which one, though?
We cut to, like, under Kieran's bed. It's fully carpeted in butter dishes.
Oh, there's, like, 100. And Kieran is going to part with one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should send all courier Way's daughter one of those, and then we'll save the other ones for like other thank you gifts later.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Idea. What if we sent a butter dish to every single person who ever sent us mail?
That sounds like a good idea.
Right.
I don't know that we have enough butter dishes yet.
Kieran, you got some work to do. You better start snagging up some butter dishes because
I 100% do. Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm trying to send those thank you dish.
I'm writing a to-do right now.
Yeah, add that to the list.
Can we name them something cool? It's not a butter dish anymore. It's a but-I-love-you dish or but-cool. You're mime-thinking-of-you dish.
It's a mail holder, right? It's a letter
it,
holder.
It yeah.
We've
letters.
Got letter openers, but that's a letter holder. You put
on
a butter dish.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is now a letter dish.
Mm-hmm. Letter dish.
That's
Kieran,
good.
That's really good. You know what? You're a genius.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Warda. Warda is an original fantasy actual play podcast created by Allie Grauer and Drew Merzieski. It's one part Game of Thrones, two parts Downton Abbey, served on the rocks with a twist of Agatha Christie. Discover magic, mystery, and more than a little socio-political commentary along the way. The city holds thousands of stories. What will yours be? And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs. Do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Sing and wave, hey, hey.